Good day, and welcome to the CTT 2015 full year results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francesco Della Cerda, Chairman and CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you all. Welcome to the full year 2015 results presentation. I will start by stating again the title in the front page, which I think summarize well what has happened during this year. We believe it was a strong year while preparing the new growth year in financial services, that is the launch of Banco CTT. Going to page four, just very briefly trying to go through the series of milestones that we consider important during this year. We highlight the agreement signed with the government for the Citizens Bureau in January, the updated or reduced interest rates on the public savings and treasury certificates that, as you know, provoked a rush on our branches in the second half of January, and a record placement of those products. A slow movement upwards starting on February up to the end of the year. The new company agreement, collective agreement, and the revised healthcare plan that we signed and we deem very important for the company. In the beginning of March, the start of the development of core banking system for Banco CTT with Mises and Deloitte. Updated prices in April with the increase of around 4% that we made last year. The AGM in May, where we approved the dividend of 0.465 per share. The process of collective layoff in Turlain in Spain, done during the summer. The receiving 15 million from Altice because of the MOU that we received in July. In late August, the commercial registration of the bank and appointment and approval by the central bank of the governing bodies, after what in early October, after a good work in the preparation, we have the final authorization to set up the bank that we start activity in November 27, as you know, in the what we call the soft opening just for CTT employees. This Friday, after tomorrow, we will open 52 branches at once to the public in general. Also to highlight the conclusion of the process of integration of the Mail and Express and parcel distribution networks in September after a year of rollout throughout the country, that we see already positive impacts in the cost base in the P&L of last year. The Capital Markets Day, where we visited us and where we updated the strategy and gave more information about our projects for Banco CTT. In page five, we just revised the five topics on the outlook and how we perform. In terms of revenues, we have given another range of 3%-4%, better than the 5% in the beginning of the year, but we updated to 3%-4%, and the full year was 3.2%. We are exactly at the border of the lower decline. It was a good year on that front. On the volumes growth in Express and Parcels, we have a target of double digits, and we stayed in single digits. Although the strong volume growth, but in revenues, it stayed below what we would like to. In a like-for-like analysis to take out the impact of the bank and also of the non-recurring that affected a lot in positive terms the year of 2014. The issue is not so much 2015, but the basis for comparison. We use the like-for-like to show the real performance as we see it. of our businesses that existed, and we have a target of declining costs, and we declined by 0.8%. We have a guidance of high single-digit growth in EBITDA, and we have a growth of 10.3% on that. And then coming to spending in the bank, CapEx and OPEX, we have given a figure of 30 million. In the end, we did 23 million euros, but part of it, an important part of it, was postponement because of the soft opening that made that some expenditure and investments. We are talking about the launch advertising campaign, the final works on the branches itself, and things like that, that should be done just on the eve of launching, and so the cost will be now in the first quarter of this year and not in the full year of 2015. We also highlight that the cash position of CTT stays at the same level. And so even investing more in our normal business, investing more because of the bank, we finished the paying more dividends than we paid in the previous year. We finished the year of 2015 at the same level of cash, net cash, that we had in the end of 2014, which I think is one of the most important conclusions or data to take that shows the resilience and the cash generation capacity of CTT. And then the last one, the policy of stable growth dividend, and we are proposing to the AGM a dividend of 47 cents per share, a total of 70.5 million euros, which means almost 7% growth on a recurring basis from the previous year. In page 6, just a little more into the figures, what we can see is that the recurring revenues went up by 1.3%, so again up the second year after several going down. The recurring operating costs went down when you take out the bank, slightly down, went up slightly when you put the bank, but what we can say is that they stayed stable even with everything that we did. And the recurring EBITDA, including the bank, went up by 6.6, excluding the bank by 10.3 to 149 million. But as we will stay with the bank, I think we can keep 144 million as the central figure for the future of our recurring EBITDA. Then you go down to profits, where you see that with the bank we went down, but without the bank we went up by 5%. And again, to bear in mind that 2014 on this was a very strong year because of non-recurring things that are included into this figure of 77 million euros. In the bottom, we see in more operational metrics that the addressed mail went down by 3.2%. The parcels up by 3.2%, and the unaddressed mails went down, but what we see here is some change, some substitution from unaddressed to addressed, more value-added products in the advertisement mail area, which is consistent with the efforts that we have been making in that area. Going to slide 7, more deeply into the revenues, what the conclusion is that our diversified portfolio supports the growth because we have positive impact from all the businesses. Mail up, express and parcels up, financial services up, in total up 1.3%. And you can see on the right-hand side also the contributions of all the lines, but we see that the volumes and the revenues are going up in express and parcels, the volume down, but the revenues up in mail. And in financial services also, revenues going up, and we'll go deeper into it later on. In terms of slide 8, looking to the costs remain flat, as we said already, despite recurring variable remuneration and Banco CTT project. This issue of the variable remuneration, just to remind everyone, 2015 was the first year after 7 or 8 that we paid variable remuneration. And so because of being the first one that we paid in 2015, but we booked into the accounts of 2014, in 2014 comparison with 2013, we considered non-recurrent. But since that moment onwards, we consider it recurrent. And so that's an adjustment of the series of analysis that has to be very in mind when we look to this. Nevertheless, what we see is that the staff costs went up by 9 million, but the third-party costs went down by 13.6, and so in total we went slightly down on the total costs. And when you add the recurring of the bank, we go to the level of 583 million, so keeping flattish. And then when we have the one-off of the bank, that will not repeat because are related with launching the bank, we go up to 592.6 million euros. And I pass to André for the following slide.
Regarding in page 9, regarding the non-recurring costs, as Francisco mentioned, the first point of the 8.5 million euros we spend with strategic studies and consultants, a big part of it is related, more or less 6.5 million is related with the bank setup, which was specific consultants to all the areas we needed for the bank to start operating, not only strategic but also in the operational part, namely in the processes, building the process and building all the IT platform. Regarding other studies, we, as you know, we have always several measures in terms of more efficiency and also measures in terms of developing new business opportunities undergoing, and some of them we need always the support of some consultants. Namely, we use some consultants in IT, we use some consultants in the process of the integration of the networks, and that, those are the figures that are here. Regarding the other two items in the non-recurring, that they more or less are the same value, so they eliminate each other. They are not related with the same thing, but all related with human resources optimization. One of them related with the Tourline restructuring process that we did, cutting more or less around 30% of the workforce over there in Spain, and the remaining with some efficiency measures that we put in place in Portugal in order to reduce the burden of our employees, namely the ones that we have in early retirement, which are very few, but we already finished with some of this, so we are eliminating or putting more efficient our cost structure. If we go to page 10, regarding recurring EBITDA, it grew, as Francisco said, the number that we need to take into account for the future is the one with the bank, which is the 144 million euros of recurring EBITDA. Basically, if you look at it, all the areas apart from the bank contributed positively, and Express and Parcels in Portugal, it contributed positively, but the effect of Spain made at the end of the day that the EBITDA was not growing compared with last year, but basically coming from the restructuring process in Spain. When you look at the EBITDA in terms how we get from the 135 to 144, first of all, as we said last year, we took the opportunity and the savings that we got with a new outsourcing contracts of IT and communications to set up the variable remuneration policy for the company as a recurring objective, as a way to promote the staff and to promote the efficiency of our staff, which is the main, as you know, the main resource of the company, of our business. And although with this introduction we still had cost savings, and these cost savings put together with the increase in revenues, we got a relevant increase in recurring EBITDA like for like. But if we take out the costs already recurring of the bank in this first year without yet operations open to the public, if we take out this value, we have year-end result of, in terms of recurring EBITDA, of plus 6.6%, but not considering the bank that was not here last year, and we didn't give any perspective about what would be CapEx and what would be OpEx, we would have an increase on the EBIT of 10.3% from our current activity. If we go to page 11, for me this is a very relevant slide because, first of all, it shows something that when we, last year, when we were here at this time to present the annual results and we changed our dividend policy, we set very clear that we were not changing our strategy regarding paying a relevant dividend. We were just leaving clear that the project of the bank and the bank itself would not affect our willingness to pay a strong dividend and a growing dividend along the time. So in 2013 we had 60 million, in 2014 we had 66 million euros, and if you take the non-recurring dividend that we paid because we had, as Francisco mentioned, last year a very relevant non-recurring benefit in our accounts without being recurring cost but a benefit from the restructuring of the healthcare plan, we got 69.75, and this year, you can take both numbers of last year, but taking the 66, which is the recurring part, we grew 6.8% to a 70.5 million euros in dividends to be paid or to be proposed to be paid this year. And this is only possible because we have a very strong balance sheet and we have very strong cash generating machine from our business. If you look at page 12, you can see this. We finished 2014 with around 279 million euros of cash, and at 31 of December 2015, we are with the same amount of cash that we had in the beginning of the year, which shows that we were able to finance the kickoff and the startup cost of the bank with our current businesses and with the business that you all know. You know that is here the payment received from Altice, but as we said in the past, we are considering this as a recurring because this is something that we believe is to stay for the future. We have value to a telecom company in the work streams that we are trying to develop with Altice. If we do it with Altice, we will have revenues in all business units coming from this partnership. If we don't do it with Altice, probably we'll do it with other companies and we'll have revenues coming from this. So the 15 million euros is, as we consider, upfront or anticipation of EBITDA that we'll get from the joint ventures that we can do with a company like this one. If you go to page 13, you see once our balance sheet, the solid position of our balance sheet. The only 2 points I would mention is, first of all, you see that at the year end we had somewhat less volume in terms of financial services activity, namely the money in our accounts, basically because of some tax measures that were delayed, so we didn't have so many money from tax payments at the year end that we had in previous years. So we had a reduction in both sides of the balance sheet of the same level. So if you look at, we kept the same cash position as we shown in the previous slide as last year, but we reduced somewhat the responsibilities we have with the healthcare plan of our employees. So our cash, net cash position, or I would say our net cash taking these responsibilities out, increased to 83 million euros. So keeping a very strong and solid balance sheet and with a strong liquidity ratio. Now let's look at the business units, and the first point I would mention, and it's because, and this is the reason why we have Banco CTT as the image for this chapter, is because the first point to mention, although we didn't have it in the 9 months, this business unit, we decided to create Banco CTT business units for several reasons, I would say, but two main reasons. First of all, because we want to leave clear to our shareholders the development of this project, as it is, this project, add-on to our business model. And the second relevant point, because Banco CTT, although a part of CTT Group, it has its own management and it's managed separately in the, I wouldn't say separately in terms of management or central management, although all the business is done in our retail network, because it's an obligation by the central bank, as you know. So it will be followed as a separate business unit, although some of the financial services that we have nowadays in the financial services business unit will be, along the time, along the next 3 to 4 years, I would say 3 years, will be partially transferred inside of Banco CTT. We will keep out of Banco CTT the ones that do not have any synergies with the bank model, and the second of all, the ones that are related with public debt or payment of taxes, because the regulator that rules one is different from the other, so they cannot be put in the same business unit. If we go now to the first business unit, and the main one in CTT, continuing to be a very relevant source of revenues and EBITDA, the mail business. If you look, the mail business had a very positive evolution in this year. Basically, we have you used again the price lever to cope with the volume decline, and this had different effects in all the products inside of the mail. But I would mention that regarding transactional mail, we were able to cope with price all the volume decline, and basically in all the products of mail, we were able with the price cope with the volume decline. The only one where we had a very positive evolution in terms of volume was the advertising mail, which if you look below, it has a 6% growth in volume, which means two things. First of all, it's the recovery of the economy and companies changing from other types of mail, namely non-addressed mail, which is related with advertising, to advertise direct mail. And the second point important to mention is that we are doing some relevant analysis and some relevant upgrades in our offer in terms of advertising mail in order to achieve a more sustainable growth in this product line inside of mail because of two things. First of all, we are, in terms of size of our advertising mail in our mail business, below what other countries have, and we believe we can be closer to them. Second of all, and very relevant, since we have newspapers closing in the country, and all over Europe, but in Portugal also, they are closing, we are becoming more and more important as the physical part of, or the paper advertising media. Regarding still mail, I would give you or call your attention to the other revenues that grow 7.4%. This is what we are doing with our retail network. It's all the business that we are putting in our retail network that are developing and bringing more and more revenues to the mail. It's not the mail that is growing fast, it's the business that we are putting in our retail network. And the second point important in these others is the revenues that the mail business receives now or is starting to receive now from the business of Express and Parcel from the integration of the network. If you look at the recurring costs, doing all this with less cost. So we are being able to use our scalability of our assets to provide, as you look at the right side, a growing EBITDA margin in this business and a growing EBITDA, which grew 12% from 2014 to 2015 in the mail business unit, which is, I would say, very relevant to mention, which means that our biggest business unit is continuing to deliver not only a good value, but also growth in the profitability. If you go now to Express and Parcels, if you look at the left side of the chart, you see that the evolution in terms of revenues in all the markets is quite different. In Portugal, we have a small growth, 3.1% in revenues, still affected by the banking business that we have in our powerful business, which last year still had a very strong reduction, basically because all the banks in Portugal closed branches, less parcels from the mail, internal mail of the banks, but with a strong growth coming from parcels from e-commerce. But that was not sufficient to cope with the decrease that we had in this, mainly in this part of the banking business. But just to mention, in the last quarter of the year, we, and this was a question we already had, we had one client that a relevant client that left our network, but in the meanwhile we were able to replace this client with other ones, smaller ones, which is bad in one side because we take more time to recover the revenues, but it's very good in the other side because they are quite more profitable than the big ones. Namely, medium to small size customers normally deliver bigger margins, so we are very happy with this change, although it affected the growth in the last quarter of our revenues in Portugal in this business year. Regarding Mozambique, although a very strong currency devaluation, we had a very big growth in Mozambique, which continues to be a very small part of our business, so I will not enter in much detail regarding Mozambique. And now finishing with Spain. Spain is still a turnaround process that we are addressing. We didn't, or we weren't able yet to achieve the results that we expect from this turnaround, but to leave it clear, the turnaround will have, and it's in our minds, that will have impact on the growth of the revenues. To do the proper turnaround in Spain, we cannot ask or we cannot be expecting relevant growth in the revenue side, because, or in, namely in the volume side, because what we need to address is the profitability of the business and not the growth of the business, not yet. At least. Regarding the recurring operating cost, it grew because of Spain. Basically, regarding, we had to replace some franchisees by our own operations, and that means that we had an increase in our costs related with the distribution in the Spanish market. As you know, the big advantage of the Spanish market and our model is the franchisees, because it enables us to cover all the Spanish territory without or without needing scale, so without needing economies of scale. If we lose some franchisees and we need to replace them, this affects our costs and affect our profitability in Spain. In terms of recurring EBITDA, the effect of Spain more than compensated the good performance in Portugal, which we can already tell that has double-digit EBITDA margin, so it already achieved the target that we had of reaching above 12% EBITDA margin in Portugal. And in 2016, with the full benefit of the integration of the networks, we are very positive this will affect, will continue to affect positively the profitability of this business, namely in Portugal. Last, regarding financial services, although we had a very busy year preparing the launch of the Postal Bank, we didn't forget our current financial services business, and we didn't forget the importance it has in our business model and in our profitability. If you look at the revenues, it grew 1.9%, a lot driven by saving and insurance. And the relevant point I would mention here, if you look below, the volumes of placements declined by 20% in terms of millions or billions. In terms of operations, it declined 7.5%, but in terms of revenues, it grew 7.9%. This is the beauty of having a fee based on the stock that we placed in the previous years. So, more and more, the fees that we receive from the stock that is placed and alive will become more and more important in the sustainability of the profitability of this segment inside of financial services. Regarding the payment segment, we continue to be affected from the strategy of telecom companies of the four play, which means that more and more people are replacing the prepaid mobile for postpaid mobile, which reduces a lot the top-up of mobile phones that we had in our network. Basically, it's these type of operations that are declining a lot in our payment business. The other ones are even increasing, namely the internet-related ones. Regarding costs, as you can see, we were able to get more efficient in this business. Namely, one of the measures that we got efficiency was we changed the telecom platform in our business of payments, which enable us to have a relevant cost saving in this business. And if you look at the right side, with revenues going up and costs going down, as in mail, we have the positive impact in terms of profitability of this business. And even with the bank, the growth was above 10% in terms of profits, not in terms of revenues, but in terms of the profitability of this business. So, although we were very busy with the launch of the bank, we continue to develop and to take all the profitability of this business unit. Last, regarding the fourth and new business unit, Banco CTT, we cannot yet present revenues because it didn't start yet, but will start 2 days from now. So probably, I wouldn't say in the first quarter, but in the first half of the year, we'll have something to show in the revenue side. But in the cost side, which we showed in the Capital Markets Day, and we want to leave it clear, all the cost structure that we are having in the Banco CTT. So operating recurring costs of the bank, not of the project, but of the bank, was 4.7 million euros, more or less half in staff costs and half in external supplies. In terms of non-recurring operational costs of the bank, the company or the bank that was created was 2.7 million euros. As I told you, a lot related with consultants, and these are more operational consultants than strategic consultants. And all in all, put together, the bank had reported operational costs of 7.4 million euros in the business unit of the bank. Then we have the costs of the setup of the bank, which were not accounted yet, or were not accounted in the bank business unit, because they were taken before the creation of the bank. They were a relevant part was assumed by the financial services, as you saw in the previous slide, and another part was also assumed by the retail network, because it was a very few, but some changes that we start doing in the retail network in order to prepare the bank launch. All in all, it accounts for more 4 million euros of project. This is not bank. This is project costs for the setup of the bank, which all together sum up 11.5 of operating costs, OPEX, of the bank. If you add the 11.7 million euros of CAPEX investments that we did in the launch of the bank, 9 of which related with the core banking system that we are setting up, we reach value for the year end of 23.2 million euros, which compared with the guidance that we had given of 30 million euros to spend with the bank. But as Francisco mentioned in the beginning, part of them, it's a delay in the investment, or a delay in the OPEX, because the launch to the public, it's only happening in the first quarter. So part of the investment, which was related with the advertising campaign and the refurbishment of the stores, will be done in the first quarter or first half of the year. I will now pass to Francisco to talk about the 2016 outlook.
Thank you, André. And so, in slide 21, just to remind everybody about the trends that we are facing, how we position ourselves towards efficiency, globalization, e-commerce, diversification,
and data-driven marketing, digitalization, substitution effect, and all that means that although we are not changing strategy, we are fine-tuning the business model to live with this more and more digitalization inside the every businesses that exist. In slide 22, we see the three business units: preserve the value of the mail business, capture the growth trend in parcels, launching Banco CTT to accelerate growth in financial services, all that leveraging on retail network and distribution network, and capitalizing on our assets, strong human capital, strong financial situation, physical proximity, and operational efficiency, which is good, but we are always in a continuous improvement movement to that. And now in page 23, to finalize, what is our guidance, which is basically reaffirming the one that we already made a few months ago. In terms of revenues and volumes, growth in revenues, decline in other mail volumes, we keep the 3-5% level that we have been living with for some time in terms of structural decline. Of course, where to stay there or even out of there depends on the growth of GDP, but being already in March, we believe that this year we will be able to keep it between the 3-5%. The bank this year will focus on customer acquisition, so the KPI that we'll see more is the number of customers and the number of accounts. But the launch will start to generate some revenues, and that's why we will see some revenues appearing on the top line of CTT coming from the bank. Costs, recurring costs excluding the bank, because I think it's easier to analyze separating the two things. Excluding the bank, we have a target to reduce again, because we are capturing the full year benefit of network integration and optimization, and we are even doing a next round of fine tuning. And from the new IT infrastructure also that we've been living with, but we are working on that front, and some HR initiatives of our optimization in Portugal. Additional efficiency measures are also under development. The operating costs, of course, will be impacted by the bank. We are talking about OPEX here. About 20 million of recurring costs, and still around 8 million on non-recurring costs linked to the launch of the bank. In terms of earnings and dividends, recurring EBITDA, again excluding the bank, to grow by mid-single digits, positively impacted by optimization measures that I spoke about before. A stable growth of dividends continues to be our policy, supported by strong cash flow generation linked to balance sheet optimizations also, and not only the normal things. A capex of around 40 million, half of it coming from the bank and half of it coming from the rest of the businesses at the levels that we usually use or slightly above, because of the strong investment in IT that we are doing and that we discussed back in the Capital Markets Day.
Francisco probably just mentioned that this does not include the delay of the investment that we didn't do in the bank in the last quarter. So probably it will go somewhat above these figures because of this. But this is basically, as I told you, part of the investment that was not done in the last quarter will be done in the first quarter. Apart from that, it's on the strategy that we have.
Yes, but in terms of, but then in the end of the year, we also will have some cutting issues. So I think round figures, these values will be more or less met. And now we open for Q&A as usual, and we are waiting for your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Philippe Leite from BPI. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one regarding Altice and in what stage are the negotiations, and when should we expect a final agreement? Second question, regarding express and parcel business in Spain, and since you are restructuring the operations in the country for some time, I would like to understand if you have already a clear view when should be reached a break-even or a turnaround in the business, and if the EBITDA mid-single-digit growth target that you have for this year, if it already assumes a significant improvement in this segment for during this year. And the last one is related with the competition, and namely the strong bet of another mail operator in Portugal, in the mail and also in parcels market, another operator called City Post. My question is if you have already witnessed some effects from this competition increase in both mail and parcels market in Portugal.
Very well, thank you, Philippe. On Altis, we don't have much news to tell. We are keeping the contact on both directions, but what we feel is that they are still concerned with other priorities, and so we don't have much news to tell. We'll keep, of course, the conversations on the way, and as soon as we have some news, we will immediately tell you. In terms of Spain, we are doing different things, and one after the other. And we don't have yet a clear view of positive news to tell you in terms of results by the end of 2015, which is what we are discussing now. We entered this year, and we kept some measures. We are now acting at the level of the largest accounts to see what we can do to improve our profitability on those accounts, or if not, just to give up serving those type of customers. But I don't have anything specific, and I would prefer to keep it open as it is at this moment in time. In terms of the guidance that we have made, we have incorporated our best judgment at the time, and if things change, we'll see if they change enough to change the guidance, but at this level we have no reason to talk about that. In terms of competition, yes, we have now a competitor trying to enter the market, and now is not just since they launched the advertisement campaign that you probably listened to or saw. It now comes from about a year ago. First we felt them in the large accounts, and now they are in this type of action. We believe that we have good tools to be a very competitive incumbent, and we are used to be competitive in different activities. Now we also have some more competition in mail. Competition always has some consequences, but we are not especially concerned about the impacts of that, and that is not new of the last month, so again, is also incorporated in our best judgment into the guidance that we gave.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris Combe from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions. First one's on mail volumes. You finished very strong in Q4, closer to minus 3, but we did see a decline in the lucrative registered mail products offset by addressed advertising. Which of these two trends do you think is likely to have longer-term effects? And maybe if you can comment what you're seeing thus far in the first quarter. Second question is on parcels. Can you give us some sense of how you assessed market growth in Portugal in 2015 and how you expect it to shape up in 16? And then lastly, on free cash flow, it looks like operating cash flow was down year on year in the fourth quarter despite flattish EBITDA. Can you give us some color of what's at play between working capital and other movements? Thank you.
Let me go to the first question regarding registered mail. We do not see any kind of trend regarding registered mail relatively to the last quarter. There are several effects that can explain what happened in the last quarter. One of them, for sure, it was we had some period without the government, and you know, tax authorities are managed by government, so they probably, I'm not sure because I'm not there, but probably they delayed some initiatives that normally they do, namely some initiatives that are done to collect taxes at the year end in order to maximize the revenue of the government. What we can tell you is that registered mail, I believe it, or registered mail by tax authorities, I believe will continue to be a relevant way of the government to collect revenues for the public budget. But regarding what is their strategy, we never know, although this new government, although with different taxes, continues to have a very big burden of taxes. So will the game is still open to be seen. I cannot comment regarding the first quarter of this year or the first month of this year. Regarding advertising mail, that I can comment. First of all, as we told in the past, we believe, and it's something that is more or less proven by Portugal and other countries, that the recovery in the economy always drives the recovery in advertising, and advertising will mean that all media will recover with the recovery in advertising. Normally TV recovers first because what it recovers is the price. When the price of TV becomes too much expensive, they start using other kinds of advertising in order to promote the goods. Apart from that, we are putting, as I told you, an initiative that we want to deliver more value in our advertising or direct mail offer to customers, which means we are, if you compare with other European countries or other European listed mail companies, we have an advertising segment of advertising mail segment quite below other operators in Europe that are listed. So we believe we should be, or we could be, at the level they are. And apart from that, we believe that we have an opportunity, given that some of the printed newspapers are going out of the market, we have an opportunity to grow in this front in order to occupy a larger share of the market in terms of media or our penetration of media. So we are doing initiatives on this side, and not only from the recovery in the market, but also from our initiatives, we expect that the trend of growth in advertising mail will continue. Probably you cannot look quarter by quarter, because there are always campaigns that happen in the first quarter last year that will not happen in the first quarter this year, or in the second, or it will have campaigns in this quarter that it didn't happen last year. So if you look quarter by quarter, you will not see the trend, but I believe if you look half year, you'll see the trend, and if you look to the full year, you'll see clearly the trend of the two effects together. Regarding the growth of parcels, we are seeing a strong growth in parcels coming from e-commerce from several sources, coming from the domestic players that more and more are going online, coming from the international players. We have more and more customers or consumers, individuals buying from outside of Portugal. So the growth of e-commerce, it's being fast in Portugal, although growing from a small base and a small piece of the full market of the parcel business. So the growth, although double digit, will not mean that if we don't have growth in the parcel business from the B2B parcels, will not mean a double digit growth in the parcels overall. But we are confident that this trend is here to stay, that we will start recovering some of the lag that we have from other European countries, and the parcel coming from e-commerce will be more and more important. And for that, I would mention that we are putting in place initiatives on the commercial front, in the putting more features in the product, targeting this business segment. Because one of the big advantages that we have compared with our competition in the domestic market, it's the capillarity. And putting the capillarity together with some other features which are relevant for the e-commerce parcels, I believe we are clearly the market strongest player. So not only we are hoping or we are expecting that this product line inside of parcels will grow, but we can even grow our market share inside of this on this segment. Regarding the last question regarding the free cash flow, basically what we had is, as you recall, in the first quarter of last year, we had very low cash flow coming basically from the payment of some investments that we did in the last quarter, 2014. And what we did this year is we didn't do the same thing that happened last year. We, in the quarter, we had the relevant payment of investments made, namely the investments made in the bank, and the benefits of some of the revenues increase that we had are in some cases delayed, namely the efficiency or the new cost accounting or VAT cost accounting policy that we put in place in order to have a more efficient VAT recovery was put in place in the last quarter, but the cash effect will happen along the month, the first month of 2016. So although the revenue was accounted in the last quarter of the year, the cash effect is coming along the next month. So we have a part in the last quarter, but a big part of it will happen in the beginning of this year. And basically the big numbers regarding the free cash flow are this one.
That's clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Nuno Estacio from Aton Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. The first question I would like to come back to the theme of Spain, Francisco, if it's possible. At the end of third quarter, I got the idea that you would tell us something in 2016 whether you think that this business can turn around or if you consider it closing. I would just like to understand, in terms of timing, what is, how are you viewing this? Because it's been more than 3 years now, losing money or not being profitable. And if you have any, what steps are you taking? Because you said that there was a change in the management team there, a change in the franchisees. What is missing? And what comfort can you give investors that this is something that will turn around, or at least that you will stop the bleeding if needed? And when would that decision be taken? A second question would be in terms of the, in Portugal, the impact in OPEX of merging the Express and Parcels and Mail, it seems that it's clearly been performing better than what you expected. Can you give us a sense of how much savings should we expect in 2016? I would like to make a final question in terms of the stable growth in dividends. Does this mean that we should assume 5-6% dividend growth in line with EBITDA growth for 2016, also in line with the growth that you had in terms of the recurring dividend from 15-16? Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. In terms of Spain, in fact, I read in your report that you had understood that I said that, but I thought I clarified that when we all met by the Capital Markets Day, because we did not commit exactly to close the operation as it was stated there. But coming back to what we really think today, what is happening is that we are seeing the impact of some of the measures, but some other measures are not yet producing the results that we wanted. And namely, I think now the two that we are working on and will take still some time to produce effects are, number one, the refranchise of some of the regions that we have taken for different reasons that we have been discussing over time. Because in the core dense areas, to do it ourselves makes economic sense,
in other areas to do ourselves does not make economic sense, but we have not been able to do the full work of refranchising those areas. And that is something that is taking time, and we believe that it will take some more time, so that will stay with us for a period. And it's very important because it will be the key for us to, number one, decrease the cost of distribution in more remote areas, and number two, create some origination capacity on those regions that directly we don't have because we don't have capillarity enough. The second area where we are working is, as I stated before, in the question of analyzing deeply, and now we have tools for that in terms of cost accounting and all that, analyzing deeply each of the accounts of each of the large big accounts and of the large franchisees. And from that we are driven some action, and the action means that in some cases either they accept to work with us at a higher price or we prefer to lose that business. And I think we'll see some of that in the volume and revenue line, but with positive impacts in the P&L line or in the EBITDA line. And so I prefer not to commit to a given time frame, but to be sure that we are very much on top of it and very much working to turn it around. And we have, for now, the conviction that we will be able to do it, although it's taking longer than we would like, and it's certainly taking longer than you, our shareholders and investors, would like us to be able to do. But that's where we stand. In terms of the stable growth in dividend, we are not saying more than we said. Of course, with some experience, maybe you can get some conclusions, but we prefer not to confirm those kind of conclusions at this level, especially at this time of the year. In terms of the merger of networks and the impact, André.
Regarding the integration of the network, first of all, it's important to take into account that we had positive effect of this process starting in 2014. In 2015, we only finished the integration of the networks, or the integration that we wanted of the network, in September. So in October until December was the first month where we got the benefits of it, which are, I would say, above the 2.4 million euros that we said when we presented the results in the Capital Markets Day. We are between 2.5 and 3 million euros because there are still work to be done. This is not a finished work. It's not only putting them together. After that, what we are going to start, and we'll do it along this year, and we'll try to do it this year, but probably will take more than 1 year, as the integration of the networks took 1.5 years. Or one year and one quarter. It was not 1 year and a half, but 1 year and one quarter. What we want to do now is, since we have everything together now, we need to optimize the network together, the network that is together, in terms of transportation, in terms of the sorting. So what we did nowadays is that we put all together, but we have routes where we have overload of the mailman. We have routes where the mailman still can have more load, so we'll need to revise the route. In the sorting center, we will need probably to do some changes in the way we do the things in order to make them more efficient, because putting some of the sorting together in some between parcels and mail can make sense in some type of the parcels, because we can have only one stop in terms of picking up the goods. All those things, as Francisco normally says, is doing very small things. It's like, how do you say it, Francisco? The turning some
bolts and screws, isn't it?
Bolts and screws. So it's not the finished business. The benefit of the integration of the networks, the easy one, I wouldn't say easy one, because I would offend my colleagues that had to do it, but the one that was putting the two networks together, it's finished by this, until now, the level of integration that we believe it's needed, although with the growth of e-commerce, the level of integration can grow, but After being integrated, we will do a serious work revising and trying to optimize the networks that are now together.
Okay. And just, sorry, touching on this, when you do the bridge to saying that you expect mid-single-digit EBITDA growth for 2016, we are speaking that you about around 7 million euros approximately.
144 million euros. You start from the 144 million euros, and you can put between 4 and 6%, so you can take 5% as a...
But that will include more costs from the from what is going to be recurrent of Postal Bank, correct?
That doesn't that is like for like without the cost of the Postal Bank. You need
so like for like, excluding the Postal Bank, the departure should be the 149, no?
No. Yes, if you take the incremental cost, that will come from the bank. If you take the non-incremental cost of the bank, this is to say, take into account, it's more or less 20 million of OPEX in the bank for 2016. If you take 144, you can take out 15 million euros because we had 5 million last year of operating cost of the bank. If you want to use the 149, you can use it, and then you need to take the 20 million out of the bank. So we can do it either way.
Okay. But with 149, I would be speaking about 4 to 6% growth, excluding totally the bank.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And here it's around 7 million euros. So if I can see that your revenue, your guidance does not imply revenue growth, this 2.5 to 3 million or a bit less because you already had the benefit of one quarter, where would the remaining come? So the remaining 4 million euros of EBITDA growth, where are you seeing more room for cost cutting?
We will not disclose anything more about this at this time. It's as I was telling about the integration of a network, it's several things that we'll do. We expect, as I told you, a positive effect of the initiatives that we are doing in advertising mail. We expect positive effects from the optimization of the integrated networks. We will start receiving some fees. The mail business will start receiving fees from the bank for the operation it does for the bank. So it starts having more revenues in the retail network, as I told you. The more we do in the retail network, the more the business segment of the mail receives because it receives fees for the work it's provided in the network. And last but not least, we have still initiatives being developed in all business units, namely also in financial service apart from the bank, which we expect that can drive new prospects of growth for this year. But at this time, as normally as we do, we will disclose when from the initiative we'll start having a clear view about the outcome that we expect from it, from those. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mattia Gergolet from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon and congratulations on the results, Andrea and Francisco. For me, also say a couple of questions. Firstly, on parcels, you mentioned that you're seeing a decline in the bank's activity. Can you help us quantify, say, how much of your existing parcels business is linked to the bank's courier activity, and perhaps what kind of, say, growth rates or decline you've seen in the fourth quarter, so we can a little bit work out what's happening to the rest of the business, which is probably quite healthy. Then second question would be on the numbers. Now, I think in fourth quarter you had like a 6.4 million revenue from VAT adjustments. I think you also mentioned that should be cashed in early next year. Now, it seems to me that you're not treating it as exceptional. So do you expect to have some more items like that going forward as well? I think, yeah, that's my two questions, really.
Regarding the first one, the banking business, it accounts more or less for...
Thank you for the congratulations.
thing, yeah.
Well, you seem to be beating every one or two quarters. Seem to be basically beating your own guidance. So yeah.
And all the executive committee and all the IR team is here in the conference, so we accept the congratulations on name of all the company. Andre, go on.
Regarding the comment that you were doing, one of the things we said from day one, but I believe it's still not in all the minds, is that we cannot manage the company quarter by quarter, and we do not see any trend when we see one quarter figures. So sometimes we are close to what we target, sometimes we are above, but overall what we try is to meet the outlook and the guidance that we give. But we cannot do it quarter by quarter. As you said as you saw in the last quarter, it was, we didn't reach the level that we wanted, but that didn't mean that we were not able, and we said it at that time to reach the end of the year with meeting the objective. But regarding the questions that you did, parcels, banking business, it accounts more or less for 10% of the revenues of the parcels. We don't measure the bank in terms of volume, so we cannot give you volume terms. It was 3 years ago, it was more than 20%, so you need to take into account it declined a lot. We can have in the future some growth in this product because there are some areas that could grow inside of the banking business, but it's not nowadays any decline in this business unit. Even we'll have probably in this year still decline because of the reduction in branches that banks are doing. Nowadays, we had last year double-digit decline. It was still important. This year will be less important. And going forward, will become with low expression. And in the other sense, we'll have the parcels coming from e-commerce becoming more and more relevant. So the business or the segment that is growing will have more and more market share inside of our revenues, and the one that is declining, which is the banking business, will have lower and lower market share or portion of our revenues. So we are going in the right direction because nowadays I believe we already have the e-commerce parcels a lot more relevant in our revenues of parcels than the banking business.
We just to summarize, we would love to keep the banking business producing so much as it did 4 or 5 years ago. But the good news of the bad news is that after coming down so much, now it represents less than 10%, and the forecast is that it will ease up the decline trend. And so it probably will stop being an issue that we have to comment every time that we look to the aggregate figures. André, on the next one.
On the VAT, just to give you an idea, in 2014 we had €3 million of recovery of VAT. This year we had around or more than €6 million of recovery of VAT. In the first quarter of this year we are already having a new recovery of the VAT. And what we did regarding VAT is something that will stay with us. We did some changes in the way we account for the VAT that we need to pay compared with the VAT that we receive from customers, doing a better cost accounting in order to recover more VAT. As you know, we do not have VAT in the universal service product, so we are a VAT payer at the end of the day because almost apart from the workforce or the staff costs, all our external supplies have VAT, so we pay more VAT that we receive, so we are a cash payer of VAT, and it is a cost for the company, even in accounting terms. With these new measures, we will be more efficient in VAT, so we will pay less VAT, so we'll have a benefit going forward from these measures that we put in place. So this is the reason we consider it as a recurring, because it's something that is here to stay.
Okay. And last year you said it was 3 million.
In 2014 was 3 million.
14, yes.
14 was 3 million, 15, 6.4 million.
Yeah. So, and just a follow-up to say one of the previous questions on your guidance for 2016 mid-single-digit EBITDA growth. So last year you had around $5.5 million of revenues from Altice. This year, given your agreement, you should book another $10 million roughly, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
9.6 million euros.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mattia.
Our next question comes from Andy Jones from RBC. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking the questions. I just had three, which I hope are quite simple. Just to follow up on the VAT issue, obviously the recognition of the 6 million all came in Q4. Is that recognized the full year's worth of VAT, or should we expect a similar effect for the next three quarters, i.e., you know, is there going to be an annualization of this in 2016? And my other two questions are, one, you referenced the revenue growth in savings and insurance versus the decline in overall savings flows. Is that something that can repeat next year? I'm just trying to understand the order of magnitude of the kind of how the fee structure then plays out over the coming years. And my final question is to do with the integration of the mail and parcel network. Now, I know that you as a company have a lot of people who deliver mail on bikes and motorbikes. How are they dealing with the increased load of parcels using that mode of delivery? Thank you.
First question, VAT. No, it's not full year. It's not full year. I would love to be full year, but it's not full year. It's not even a year. It was the 3 million, I would say that is a more sustainable level of recovery of VAT in a normal trend than the 6 million. The 6 million was some recovery of previous years that we did in order to improve our metrics. But I would be more close to the 3 million or 3 and something a year than the 6 million regarding the VAT recovery. It's the year number. Regarding savings, I would, first of all, we had in 2014 a fantastic year. In 2015, although with a decline compared with 2014, it was also a fantastic year. And we already heard from the CEO of the Agency of Public Debt telling that it continues to be very positive and very confident of the ability of placing public debt near households, near individuals, as one of the areas to place public debt that they want to bet. You need to take into account that in 2015 we had, as Francisco said in the beginning, a reduction in the interest rate that this kind of products paid. It went down from 4.5 on average in a 5-year period of investment for 2.25. So it went down more or less to half of the interest that paid. But going forward, you saw the recent measures made by ECB. So what it meant is that probably banks will stop paying for deposits. So if they stop paying for deposits, or if they pay very low or lower for deposits, the appetite and the competitiveness of our public debt products that we place will become more and more important. So we are very confident that this year probably we can do the same as last year or even better. But it's too soon to say, but we are very confident, and we believe that the Agency for Public Debt is also very confident to place a very relevant amount of public debt near households. But one important thing to mention with this, and regarding the bank, the beauty of having the postal bank is that in the future, if deposits become more competitive in terms of interest rates, if interest rates start picking up, but I believe they will pick up sooner or later, when they start picking up, we will have a new source of revenues in our business model that will be the revenues from interest coming from deposits that will capture in the bank. So this is bringing more stability to the developing of our financial services, having the full range of products, once being more competitive in a period of time, which is nowadays we believe public debt products are very, very competitive in terms of savings compared with bank deposits. But in the future, if bank deposits start to become more competitive, we'll have Banco CTT to address that opportunity and to start having relevant flows and relevant revenues from the bank deposit. Regarding the last question, I will pass to Francisco that will talk about our mailman.
Very well. We have several routes on bikes and on motorbikes, and we have several routes on foot. And so we have still around 25% of the routes on foot with a trolley. The way this function is that we have, as you know, 250 postal delivery centers spread all over the country, and that's where the things are organized. And a single mailman can distribute two or three trolleys on each route with some cars that go and give him the additional trolley to continue with its work. And so the way this is managed is that when there are packages that cannot fit into the trolley or into the some things that we have on the bike and on the motorbike, we send a specific car for that, that goes and do the biggest volume distribution and delivery on those routes. It's a kind of a backup solution that goes into place when needed. But this is managed at the level of a small or a not so big number of mailmen that are going to the street, and the boss of that center managed all that in a proper way every morning before going to start their job. And so this functions. The reason why we took 1 year to roll out this was exactly because this needed training and to analyze the flows and how to put all together in terms of the volumes. The typical size, volume and weight of a parcel coming from the e-commerce fits into the mailman. Then there are outliers, and we have solutions to deliver that, even without a premium distribution in terms of speed related to price, of course.
Okay, thank you. Very good.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to Mr. Francisco de la Cerda for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much for attending. Thank you for your interest and continued support. We have a calendar of our investor relations actions on the last page of the presentation. And I also want to highlight that on the 28th of April, we'll have our AGM. We have published the invitation to the AGM yesterday with all the items and proposals. And we hope that, as you did last year, you will turn the shares to come to the shareholder meeting, or even coming personally, which would be even better, but at least the shares, because for us it's very important that to feel that we have a strong part of our capital or the shares of our shareholders coming and voting the way they decide to do. We hope that is positive, but nevertheless, the most important is to come and vote to show the support and for us to feel the support in what we are doing. Thank you again, and we will meet soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.